This week's episode is brought to you by Heroes Wanted Comics and Collectibles. Listen, if you live in the Middle Tennessee area, you have got to pay Mike and the gang at Heroes Wanted Comics a visit. I get my comics personally from there, and trust me, they treat you like family as soon as you walk in the door. Go to heroeswantedcomics.com for the location and their hours, and make sure you mention that Tyler Haynes from nerdwide.com sent you. All right, everyone, this is nerdwide.com presents Hero Cravings episode 12. As always, I am Tyler Haynes with the co-host himself, Chris Rivers.
Hello, everyone.
It's kind of cool. We're sitting here live with each other, so this audio should be a lot better than what we've had in the past. Some housekeeping real quick. Don't forget to share, rate, and review this podcast on iTunes. Don't forget Chris recaps Blacklist and Blindspot. No, is Blacklist still on hiatus?
Blacklist is on hiatus till the first week of January.
Okay, so that one's still on hiatus, so make sure you're going to read his recaps at purefandom.com, and he does that weekly, so make sure you are doing that. Also, today we're doing another giveaway on this episode. This one is holiday-themed. We've actually got Buddy the Elf, a Grinch Pop, and a holiday DC comic that they do every year for whoever at the end of the episode. You just want to do the same thing we did last time. Name our douche canoe. Give us your douche canoe at the email at nerdwide.gmail.com.
Absolutely.
Awesome. All right, everybody. Now, this is our 12th official episode. Let me give you a recap of how the show is going to go down. Each week, we go through all the DC and Marvel TV episodes in order as they air, which, coincidentally, this week is only Marvel. We will bring you our thoughts and reactions to every episode, and that being said, let's jump right into it with the gifted episode 10, Exploited. Now, this one is kind of really cool. So we start off with, I don't remember the time frame, how long ago it was. I want to say it was just a couple months. Was with the flashback here, and they were with Senator Montez that he's using fear to win the Senate vote, well, to re-election for the Senate, and he's using fear against the X-Men, the X-Gene, the mutants, and he's really trying to drive that in, and you're like, you know, if you elect me again, we're going to put these people away so they can't hurt our families anymore,
right,
and stuff like that, but doesn't that sound really familiar to, we could go with a lot of politicians, but the biggest one we'll use is, I don't know, President Trump.
Right.
If you just change it with another N-word and use Muslims, isn't that the same kind of tactic he used to gain office? And so I really love that the gifted and the writers use this, the tone of what we're seeing in the real world, because to me it makes it more relatable
right.
to what is going on. So like if you just interchange mutants with Muslims, I mean, you're getting the same story. So we find out that he had a assistant. Her name was Stacy, and it looked a whole lot like Esme. So I was like, so which is which? Are we, is this girl's, she's saying her name's Esme, but her name's really Stacy? Because we know last week's episode, we really left with, who is Esme? And is she really trying to, like, coerce the group into something, into her ways? Or what are we looking for her?
Well, and the thing is, based on what we've found out later, we don't know if this is the same person that we've been
right because watching. It was kind of weird. It was kind of cool seeing that, because like her powers came to fruition and it was still mind reading, and someone was like telling her, like, they're coming for you, they know you're there, Trask and the Sentinel Services are coming. So, and like, you know, she books it and gets free or whatever, and then that ends the whole senator thing. We find out that, you know, Agent Turner has, you know, captured the three mutants. He captured, well, four. Dreamer, Blink, and the Strucker siblings.
Right.
And, you know, he's interrogating the adults, but he didn't do anything with the children. But the children, you know, like, kind of left together and everything. So it's kind of, but they all had collars on, so they couldn't really use their powers. But it was really cool because he called Dr. Campbell. He says, you know, I got a new batch of mutants for you. And he said, are two of them the Strucker twins? And well, the Strucker siblings, and he was like, well, yeah. And we find out that Agent Turner was given a little bit of pushback, and Dr. Campbell was no, because, you know, we made a deal and you're going to stick to this deal. But we find out that Agent Turner is kind of really having an issue with handing children over to Dr. Campbell, because that was like the big theme of this episode was Dr. Campbell and Agent Turner's relationship, more so than anything, like the underlying tone for me.
Yeah, well, Turner's big point was the Strucker children are children. We can't just process them the way that we normally would process these adults.
Right.
The adults are processed. We've spoken with them. I can turn them over to you.
The lines get a little bit blurred when it comes to children, when it comes into the law and stuff like that.
Right.
And especially with, you know, Agent Turner having a child who is now deceased, he's found it for like the second time. It's kind of a gray area for him. And that makes it a little bit better because the Strucker, Papa Strucker and Mama Strucker show up to Agent Turner's house with a gun. And it was...
Yeah, they do.
That was a really intense scene because you knew Agent Turner's past and you knew the Strucker parents' past. So it was to see those worlds kind of combine, and basically they're two sides of the same coin, if you ask me. You've got Agent Turner's daughter is dead, and that's why he's on this big vendetta, is because he's trying to justify this. He doesn't want this to happen to anybody else. But the Struckers both have mutant kids, and they don't, you know, they just want their kids.
Yeah, and it's not their kids' fault that they have the X gene.
Right. I mean, you're born with it, you know?
Persecuted for it. And that whole scene, nothing snapped him back until his wife asked him, "What are you doing in our daughter's name?"
Yeah, and like you could just see the
realization on his face.
Crazy. I loved it.
I've been having people tortured.
Mm-hmm.
Just and my daughter my wouldn't daughter. Want that.
Right. Because, I mean, essentially his daughter was just innocent. I mean, they were just at the park, you know.
Right.
But it's – and, like, even in the – like we mentioned earlier, the little senator rally with the senator, like, you could even see the no more incidents 7/15, I think is what it was, the date was.
Yeah.
Again, same thing as what's going on in America right now. So let's go back to Dr. Campbell. He's got the Strucker's kids now, and he wants to test them, wants to see what they're really made of. We'll get to later why he's doing that, but – what was really cool is kind of a callback to Wolverine because he puts them in this room. He says, "Don't worry about it. You're not going to damage any, destroy anything." He said, "This room is made out of animanium," which for those you know who's got a good ear, animanium is also the metal that is made up. Wolverine is made out of his bones and structures and everything. If you've seen any of the Marvel,
yeah, they're
movies.
All wrapped in it,
right? And so like that's what his claws are made of. So the room is made out of the strongest metal known to the world. Period, and. That was kind of cool that they threw that in there. And he even said something about, "I got this from an abandoned lab in British Columbia." Where was Wolverine made in British Columbia in the comics. So it was really cool to see them throw that back to them. So we do that. The Lauren and Andrew, they're like, "No, we're not going to give you our powers to show you what we're made of and everything. Why would we do that?" And he goes, "Oh, okay, you know." Dr. Campbell's like, "Well, this might change your mind." He brings in Dreamer and Blink. Of course, they're handcuffed. They got their collars on. They can't do anything. And he's like, "Are you sure you're not going to use your powers?" And he gets a gun, and Dreamer's like, because, you know, everyone's like, "Oh, he's going to kill us." And Dreamer's like, "Don't give them what they want." And they're like, "Okay, we're not going to give you that." And Dr. Campbell just turns around and just shoots her.
Yeah.
Just shoots
right
her.
Right in the chest.
Right. And I was like, "Oh, my God." And so, of course, Andy and Lauren don't want this to happen to Blink, you know, to anything else. And so they're like, "Okay, let's just do it." And we kind of, they give us a little bit more on their power and the little, and it's strong because it bent the adamantium wall in half and it pushed down.
Kind of melted it.
Right. It's like a little small spot, and I'm sure they could do stronger. But adamantium is the strongest metal in the world, and they were able to melt it / bend it and break it a little bit.
Yeah.
That should tell you something.
Yeah.
And then, but Dr. Campbell, the reason he wants these powers is he's trying to cure something or he's trying to make something. Because that was the whole point of him testing it. And he even tells one of those old lab guys, he goes, "Do we have it?" And the guy was like, "Yes, we have it. We've got everything we needed." And so I don't know what the plan of this is. Agent Turner comes in and brings, you know, his Sentinel Services in. He goes, "I'm taking all my prisoners back. We're not doing this anymore." And, you know, of course, Dr. Campbell's like, "What about the deal?" And he's like, "I don't care about the deal. We're bringing them back into custody," which was good, which was really good on Agent Turner's part.
It was really good. I did think, though, Lauren had a good point after all that when she basically said Dreamer died for nothing.
Yeah, because they didn't even break out.
Well, not only that, but they still gave him what he wanted, even though she didn't want him to.
And I think we're going to find out with these Strucker kids is that they're going to be forced to grow up faster than anything, and you can kind of already see that with, like you said, with Lauren's statement. So I'm curious to see what we're going to go through in the future with them. Of course, this is episode 10. We've only got three more episodes. this show goes on hiatus for 2 weeks.
Yeah,
because we skip next week.
Yeah, so we'll be on Christmas. So,
yeah, okay, so yeah, we'll be back in 2 weeks for this show. But I'm curious, do you think Dreamer's dead? Because they didn't really show her body. Like, Agent Turner even asked, he goes, oh, where's the red-headed one?
They had a long shot with her laying on the floor, and mm-hmm. it looked like a pool of blood coming out. Now, that doesn't mean that she's dead.
Right, because it's the Marvel Universe, no one stays dead.
Right, so she could very well... I could see Campbell hanging on to her, bringing her back, and using her for his own agenda.
Right.
But I don't think it'll be this season.
No. And you know the show's going to come. I mean, look at the ratings. We'll get to that here in a second after the other twist to this episode.
Oh, it was a good twist.
But, I mean, we're going to keep coming back. They're going to have to get a second season. I mean,
yeah,
they're consecutively getting close to 3 million viewers every single week.
And I think it's going to end up being more than... the dozen or 13 episodes mm-hmm. that this one got. So, yeah, they may go for 22 episodes next year.
That would be great. That's going to be a lot of fun. So, the rest of the episode, you know, we talked earlier about Esme. We don't know if we trust her yet. Well, surprise, surprise, she's playing the underground. We didn't get a lot of Thunderbird. We didn't get a lot of Eclipse. We got a little bit, some scenes between Eclipse and Polaris talking about mm-hmm. the future and what they want for their baby and stuff like that, and why the Struckers left and went to Agent Turner and stuff. I 100% get it.
Which they were essentially talked into by Esme.
Yeah, because Esme was, she's playing them all.
She's listening to their thoughts
mm-hmm.
and picking through their memories. And
it's, I mean, it's smart. I mean, if you had that power, I guess we could.
She got what she wanted.
Right. So we find out she's playing the underground. We find out that they're going to transport all the troops, well, all the mutants out of the facility and back into Sentinel Services. Well, they get to the Sentinel Services, gets to a gate with a bus full and trucks full of mutants and Sentinel Services on top of that. And Eclipse, was it Eclipse that was standing beside Esme at the gate? And then she knocked him out. And Esme walks down there, and this was a bloodbath. And this is everything that the government and everything is pretty much scared of the mutants. So Esme she takes control of all the Sentinel Services' minds and basically makes them shoot each other and then kill themselves.
The big one, though, was she tells the one guy, pull the pin on the grenade and get in the car and blow it up.
Right.
And
like,
he does.
Yeah.
It's just like...
Well,
and Turner sees it all happen.
Yeah, because he only gets shot like in the stomach. Because his partner, if you notice, was the first one who killed himself. He killed the guards. He shot Turner in the stomach. And then...
put the pistol
Oh. And then everyone... She kills everybody. Meanwhile, our underground group is on the side road mm-hmm. waiting for the all clear, let's go type of thing. They never get it. They hear all these explosions and gunshots. And then they see Esme go to the bus, and all the mutants come out. Well, so we find out that Esme was a set of triplets.
Right.
So, three Esmes, they all had the weird mystic, they all talked to the same voice type thing. I'm really excited to see what we're going to do with Esme.
There's most likely going to be more in the comics. They're referred to as the Stepford Cuckoos. A playoff of the Stepford Wives.
Yeah.
So, I'm not that familiar with them personally.
I'm not either.
I am looking through some of their history.
Mm-hmm.
It says there are countless.
Interesting.
Numbers of them.
So, I wonder if that's, I don't like if a mutant gene like can make more or how that works. Unless maybe they're. Science experiments, because we thought they were working with Sentinel Services and Dr. Campbell and stuff, but at least that's what I thought with Esme. I thought she was like a plant upon a plant and was kind of playing everybody, but she definitely just killed every single person, so it was kind of nice.
So
we leave the episode, and we're leaving this week with Esme and co kidnap all the prisoners, including Lauren, Andy, and Blink. So where we go from there, I've got no idea. Like, the next episode is 3x1, which is obviously, I'm going to say it's like the three Esme triplets. This is what I'm going to call them, are one person. I mean, there's multiple ways you could take that. It's a bad measurement. But, you know, you have to, we joked about last week, are they going to run out of X words? No, Chris, we can just use the letter X.
Multiplication tables right. All the way through. Why not?
Early numbers for this episode, we got 0.8 rating, which is steady from last week. And like I said earlier, we're staying steady, like at 2.78 million viewers, which is only down 0.03, which is not a lot. I mean, we're staying consistent with, like, right around the 3 million number, right. Which is a lot of people. And again, this really isn't DVR numbers, is it? This doesn't include like
No. This is just the overnight ratings for each of the episodes.
Excellent. And then next episode, like I said, is 3x1. It's actually January 1st is the premiere of the last three episodes. And then the only other show we had this week was Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But yeah, season 5, episode 3, titled A Life Earned. So
it was a doozy.
This episode was good. It had a lot in it, but not a whole lot. Does that make a lot of sense? It might not, but
there was a lot of dialogue, a lot of things that we found out.
Yeah, that we've been questioning. We wanted to know,
but there wasn't a lot in the way of actionable events.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan about this pilot of this season. I'm kind of ready to not be in the future and in the middle of the Earth's crust. I'm ready for back to normal stuff. But that's just my take on this season. We come out, Kasaya is talking to his henchman, the henchman girl. No, it's Deke is who he's talking to.
They're both there, I think.
Yeah, and they're all, and he's talking about the fairy tale. And I put that in air quotes for the ones who can't see, because
this is everybody but me.
Right. So, the fairy tale is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. are going to come to the future and fix everything. So, heroes from the past are going to come back to fix everything from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And Kasaya is like, you know, it's just a fairy tale type thing. Well, they've got Quake. And everyone knows Quake is, for somehow, some way, everyone knows that Quake is the one who supposedly destroyed the world. Hence her name, Quake, and everything. So Destroyer of Worlds, which is such an awesome
Which is really
name.
Strange. We have this going on mm-hmm. on S.H.I.E.L.D., and then on Supergirl, you have World Killer.
World Killer, yeah. Probably not planned that way. But,
no, but bad timing.
But my question with the Destroyer of Worlds, I meant to put it in our notes, and I didn't do it. But so it says Destroyer of Worlds, mm-hmm. plural. Do you think it's just Earth, and that's just a title? Or do you think she's actually destroyed other worlds?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Because it's
do you
plural.
Do you have a theory?
We haven't seen the moon yet.
We haven't seen the moon.
It's been mentioned, but I don't know if we've seen it. Like in any of the escapes. And let's talk about the opener.
Okay.
And I don't know if we talked about it. And this is episode 4. This is episode 3. My bad, guys. I meant to change that. The opening, like, it's got the crust of the Earth, and it looks all mm-hmm. alien. I love it. Anyway, I love how their opening sequence is.
Yeah.
Okay, so Kasaya is threatening Gemma for Quake to use her powers for Kasaya. You know, of course, Gemma can't hear anything. And, of course, this plays on later in the episode we'll get to. But Quake is like, why would I help you? And he's like, well, if you don't, you know, I'm going to hurt this girl right here, because obviously you're from the future together.
He says
or the past.
He'll mess up her pretty face.
Yeah. And, I mean, Gemma does have a pretty face.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know.
How's Fitz going to take that, you know, if he ever sees...
I think he'd be very, very pissed.
Wouldn't we all? Yeah. We find out there is... So it's kind of like a Spartacus gladiator feel. Kasaya is training and finding...
Inhumans.
I almost said mutants because we just talked about the gifted. But so there's a mind reader. I don't know if we ever got told in the episode what his name was, but we looked up on, was it IMDb?
Uh-huh.
And the character's name is Ben, and he's a mind reader. And
no relation to Peter Parker, though.
No. Ben! No! No, I don't think it's his uncle. So he could read minds. We're sitting at this in arena style. Everyone's training their powers. You know, see Inhumans just kind of scattered around this room. And Ben walks up to her, and Quake's kind of like looking at the food, just kind of like a weird face. There's a piece of meat. And he goes, yeah, if you're wondering, that's they farm meat here. And like, it's not real
grown
meat.
In a lab.
Yeah. And she was like, how did you know that? And of course she's like, oh, I can read minds. Or she's like, you can read minds, can't you? So... We know this. So, while this is going on, the sub characters for this episode, I want to say, were Coulson, Yo-Yo, Mac, and May. Like, I would say, like, they're the sub characters because they weren't as shown as much as Gemma and Sky were, or Quake, Daisy. Pick a name.
Sky.
Yeah, I like Sky better. But we find out that Mac is now the bodyguard for Grill. I can't stand the guy. I think it's time to kill him off. But you know they're not going to.
I think they will at some point.
Yeah. Well, my.
I think he'll become roach food.
And that's probably one of my biggest problems with this episode, this season is I'm ready for these guys to not be basically slaves mining through all these asteroids.
You want to see them being heroes.
I want to see them being Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. again. I want to see, because, you know, in the last season, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is pretty much no more because everyone's dead. Everyone thinks these guys are terrorists. Anyways. But, like, we find Mac is the bodyguard for Grill. Now he's doing all his dirty work. We find out that we never see babies. I never really, or kids or babies, never really even thought about it until they bring it up this episode.
Right.
And Kasaya is regulating babies. Like, he only get, because they're probably in the food, as I think was what someone said, that he's putting chemicals in that makes everybody sterile. And there's a baby missing. Mac sees it. Agent Coulson and May, they all see it. And Mac goes to, and this is bodyguard for Grill. Ooh, my train of thought just went like 16 different directions just then. But Mac is beating up this guy, and he's having a problem because he's not understanding that the thing, the item that Grill wants him to get and everything is a baby. His payment and everything for keeping this baby safe. And Mac's having an issue because of last season, you know, with Ruby. He got a bit of a relationship with his daughter in the LMD thing on the, what's the world again already? The framework. And so the guy tells him, he goes, you know, I could tell you're just a big brute. He goes, this is why you've never had kids and things like that. This is why you don't deserve to be a father. And, like, it really hurt Mac to the core.
Oh, he just started laying into the guy.
Yeah, and, like, at the end of the episode, like, him and Yo-Yo had a good moment, which, of course, it's Yo-Yo. I like Yo-Yo and their relationship. Okay, so that's what was happening with all of them. We'll come back to Agent May in a minute. So we find out that Gemma and Sky are staying across from each other. And he's wanting to make, and Cassius is wanting to make sure these are the only two future people. Because they said, we're the only ones who came through.
Well, past people.
Past people. Not future people. You know what I meant. So we come back, and Sky is telling a story. And then it was weird because Gemma says that tells Cassius the same story, even though Gemma can't hear.
Right. But Cassius.
Yeah, he kind of catches on.
He catches on to what's happening initially because he stands between them.
Because my first thing was like, maybe she's reading lips, and I guess that's what Cassius was thinking.
Yeah.
So Cassius kind of like looks at Gemma and asks Sky a second question, and he shifts where Gemma couldn't see, and you can tell that's what she was doing because she kind of like a moment of panic. And then he asks Gemma the question, the same question, and wants the same answer, and she tells it word for word, and even Sky was like, how? And we find out that the mind reader Ben can talk to you in your brain, too.
Yeah.
So he was relaying everything Sky was saying to Gemma.
And more importantly, they don't know he can do that.
Yeah, no, the Kree have no idea. No, and so he says, we have to keep this a secret. And that I feel like that's going to be a big thing in the coming of seasons.
Well, at least for the rest.
Well, for the rest of this pod. And
God,
hopefully it's like two more episodes. My predictions are always bad.
Well, if they have three pods again...
Yeah,
it'd probably have to be...
Because this is episode 4, so we're going to have to get kind of close to the end.
Yeah.
We find out that Cassius is, while Ben was in there and he was reading everyone's minds, he was actually reading Cassius's too. Mm-hmm. Cassius is... He hates where he is. And he's not one of the... No, I don't either. But he wants to be an elite, is essentially what it is. And he's not, like, everyone around him kind of like looks down on him. But he finds out that once he gets what he's wanting, he's going to blow up the lighthouse, which is where they are. So he's just going to kill everybody, just wipe it, because, I mean, he hates it so much. I mean, it's a lot of people dead, but obviously he doesn't care. Mm-hmm. We find out that, so May, while we're in this lab, they see this baby. May sends Deke and Coulson away. And the, I don't even think we have a name for her yet. The metal ball braided girl. Like, she's only talked like a handful of times. And I don't actually even know if we have a character name for her.
Keep going. I'm going to see if I can track that down. I'm sure there's a name
for Yeah. her. So Agent May and this girl, they find it out. They find each other. And at the end of it, May has met her match. Coulson even says, you know, you're not 100% because of her leg when she got teleported to the future. And what's crazy about this is we come back and she's getting ready to go back to Cassius, the blue girl's name, who you're about to find out. And she's wiping one of the metal balls with blood, and we don't see Agent May anymore this episode. So it's kind of hinting at, oh, is she dead? Is she not really dead? We'll find it out in the future. And then Coulson is with Deke now, and he plays the clip that they got from last episode. You got the name for her?
Sonara.
That doesn't even make any sense.
That's what's...
it's like Cree for Sarah.
That's what the internet told me. I
you can't believe everything you read on the internet. I mean, or you can. They can't. People don't lie. They don't make things up.
I'm not sure that. I mean, I don't. May's not dead.
No, I mean, there's just no way they're just gonna kill her off like that.
What damage was done to her?
That's the question.
Did she somehow get through to Sonara?
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to be one of those things where, because of the way May fought, Sonara felt like she earned the right not to be
executed
or killed, so she's letting her go.
Yeah, I see. That'd be a twist, though, wouldn't it? Because like we hardly hear from the Sonara girl. We never hardly hear from her, so I don't know if she's got the same ear thing that Cassius is doing to everybody,
yeah,
or what's going on. So that can play
into
it.
I'm just throwing this. Sometimes I throw stuff out there,
yeah. and it ends up being right. We get it, Chris. Go on Reddit, get on the spoilers.
I'm going to put a theory out there. What if she is, like, because they're, 90 years into the future. What if she's May and Coulson's granddaughter or great-granddaughter?
But she's Cree, though. How could she...
Is she Cree? I mean, she's got her skin painted.
Yeah. Interesting.
She's not one of the big blue people.
That's true.
And even if she is part Cree, doesn't mean she can't be descended
from them. Coulson's part Cree, though. Because if you think, because when he was brought back to life, we found out that the Cree serum was they were draining a dead Cree. Remember, like, this is all the way back in season one.
So,
that theory could be palatable. Yeah. I see where you're going with this.
I'm trying.
So, Coulson plays the audio log we got from last week that's being bounced off of the surface of the Earth. And Deke's like, you know, again, there's no one that could live there. And he recognizes the voice, goes, that's my dad. But he's not on the best terms with his dad or his mother. So he says his mother gets killed off because they were trying to fight the Kree.
Mm-hmm.
And then his dad, he
was
pleaded.
Banished to the surface.
Yeah, because he pleaded with him. He was like, don't keep doing this. And of course he chose that instead of his son. That's how Deke sees it. And he was pushed off onto the surface of the Earth. That's all basically it for that. And then we come to the Cassius' party. He's got everybody. He's going to bid off Quake. He says, you know, this is the world destroyer of worlds. You know, for a price, who wants her? And a masked guy comes out. You know, Jim is in the room. Cassius is there. Sonara is there. Like, all these nobles or elites or whatever you want to call them are there. And a masked guy, he goes, instead of, auctioning her off, how about a fight to the death? And he takes off his mask and it's Fitz.
Yeah.
It's my mind being blown. How is Fitz in the future? How and why is he trying to kill Sky?
I don't think he's trying to kill Sky.
Do you think it's a plan?
He's got a plan because I think he figures... I mean, look around.
Right.
Sky's probably the most powerful person
there.
So if she has a fight to the death...
He could.
She's going to take care of anybody. And if it destroys the rest of the planet and allows them to get out of there...
Mm-hmm. Now, is he... Was he the masked... I couldn't tell. Was he the same masked character from episode one of this season?
I thought that masked character was Deke.
Okay.
Having been outside.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
So I don't know if we've I don't know. It's really weird. But that the episode ends with Fitz.
Right.
So now we've got Fitz in the future somehow. He apparently lived past quakiness.
Did you see the previews?
No, I did not.
I caught a piece of the previews, and Nick Blood's going to be back next week.
Interesting.
So he and Fitz have some scenes. So I'm thinking we're going to find out next week how Fitz gets to the future.
So do you think it's... Yeah, it's the same Fitz. I was about to say, do you think it's Fitz from our time, like in the future? But it's not. It's got to be... because he'd be older. He wouldn't just go through time like that.
Right.
He
would age.
Yeah, age is what we're going for.
He's time traveled somehow.
Yeah. Somehow, some way, he's figured it out. So. And he's trying to figure... She's trying to get his team back, hopefully. That's what I'm going for. Of course, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to be the only show we've got next week. But next week, I think, Chris, we've talked about, we're going to discuss... we'll do the recap Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., what we thought about that. And then I think we're going to do what the ratings mean and what the ratings are, views and everything. Just like a little filler episode so we get some more content out there.
We'll talk ratings. We'll talk DVR ratings.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll dig in a little bit to what we think those ratings mean for the future of these shows.
Well, early numbers for this one, 0.5 rating, which is steady from last week. 1.84 million viewers, which is down 0.09. It's, again, that's not bad. That's almost 0.10, but that's still not... It's not like it's a million dropping off. And the next week's episode is titled Rewind. So with that title, I wonder if we're going to see Fitz back in the past.
That's what I said.
Oh. You know. All right, so... So with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., we only had 2 episodes this week, so I reached out to Reddit, and the gifted Reddit, to be exact. I was like, you know, I want y'all's thoughts on the episode.
Do you
want to
go ahead and let's do the Deuce Canoe and our favorite episodes?
And oh, and then kind of jump. Yeah, well, let's do that. Let's
wrap that up for people.
All right, everybody. So this is our Deuce Canoe we're about to name is the one you need to for the giveaway. You got to email us your name, our Deuce Canoe, and then your Deuce Canoe. And if you got any comments about the site or anything.
And also, if you want to know what a Deuce Canoe is, you can ask that when you email us.
Absolutely. Just bad guy of the week is the only thing I've got. Like the one who is the worst of the worst. All right, Chris. It's the fan favorite time of the week, Deuce Canoe. Who do you have?
It has to be Dr. Campbell.
I mean, you can't just shoot Dreamer.
No.
And force children to do all these things for you and not be the Deuce Canoe of the
right.
week. Now... I don't. Is this his first time in Deuce Canoe?
I think he was Deuce Canoe once before.
I think. And this was the first time we've seen him since the accident with.
His face is all scarred up,
burnt and scarred. So apparently he can't heal that fast. All right, Chris, favorite episode.
Gifted.
Yep, the same.
It's
like I said earlier. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is not really. I don't know. Like it. This was action-packed. We got more history. We got more story for the Struckers. Esme, we finally found out her end game. What's up with her kidnapping everybody? I don't know if she's probably trying to destroy everybody.
Yeah, the Gifted was just... It had more to it. It had more WTF moments.
Yeah.
Whereas Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you got the sense that that episode was... It's setting up the big events coming up in the next
four or five episodes.
Yeah.
More of a monologue, like you said. Well, not monologue, but like more just dialogue than anything.
Right.
So that's pretty much it for this episode. We're going to change things up a little bit.
Just a little.
Yeah. So we've got... So I asked Reddit. I asked people if you got any comments about this mid-season finale is essentially kind of what this is of The Gifted on The Gifted Reddit. And we got some good responses. Let's see, which one? This guy's name is I Am Grum. I'm assuming it's kind of I Am Groot. His username is I Am Grum. And he says, I haven't yelled holy shit at a network television show that much since the first LMD episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Hilarious.
Yeah.
And we have to go back episode of Lost is what he says. And he says, that's how you do, in parentheses, a fall finale.
And absolutely.
And I was like,
I like that username too, by the way. The
Poopy Poo.
I didn't know your screen was touchscreen.
Yeah, this screen's touchscreen. So, Poopy Poo He said, telepaths are OP, and it was great seeing the cuckoos, like the bird. That scene where they were all talking in unison with that explosion in the background was hilarious, creepy, and amazing all at the same time.
Oh, yeah, and the eyes glowing bright blue.
Yeah,
and...
looked robotic, if you will.
A little bit, yeah.
We'll see. They seemed almost like they weren't human. The hive mind was done great, IMO, which means, in my opinion, Chris.
Thank you. I'm old, but I'm not that old.
He said, just for that small scene, hope it isn't canceled because of the merger. Which brings our another question we've got here from Delvior. I'm not sure who they are.
You're getting fancy with those words.
This is the username.
Putting the right emphasis on the wrong syllable and everything.
He or she says, are you guys going to talk about the Disney and Fox deal and the potential implications? And I thought, Chris, this is...
Yes, we can.
Yeah, I think we could. Because this is a light week, and it was the Fox and... So, for those of you who aren't on social media a whole lot, don't follow a lot of these groups, but Disney, which is obviously the owner of Marvel, Lucasfilms now...
ESPN, all that.
They own just about everything at this point. It's on TV.
Pixar.
They bought Fox. Fox Studios. 21 Studios. Chris, you've got the knowledge. Help me out here. What do you? So let's talk about this deal. What does it mean for the shows and things like that?
All right. First, this is going to be a little lengthy.
Okay, I'm with you.
Let's lay the groundwork. The deal's been agreed upon.
Yep.
By Disney and Fox. It has not been signed off on by the Department of Justice.
So that means that. So it has to go to the DOJ first?
Has to, because of antitrust laws, they want to make sure that someone's not dominating a market and becoming a monopoly. So Disney expects that to take 12 to 18 months.
That's a whole year and a half, dude.
Yeah. It's going to be a lengthy process. Now, before I get into all this, because there's quite a bit here, I gotta give credit to Variety, CNN, and The Verge. That's where I've gotten most of my research.
Good for you, Chris. You know how I know you're a good journalist because you just cited your crap.
Well, hopefully it's not crap.
Right. Well, you cited your info.
Now, part of this deal, Disney's so sure that the deal is going to get done and that it'll be approved that they've put in place a $2.5 billion breakup fee. With Fox.
And you're saying...
Which means...
Billion with a B.
With a B.
Jesus.
What that means is if for any reason the DOJ says this deal can't be done, Disney's still going to give Fox $2.5 billion for doing that.
Just for due diligence kind of stuff like
right.
that. Okay.
So
they're not essentially getting screwed over in the end. Well, I mean, I don't know if any group is getting screwed over.
They're getting a lot of money.
Yeah, they're getting money.
And Fox wants to do the deal.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't feel that they can compete in a world where Apple and Google and Amazon and
Verizon.
Netflix and all these others have risen up and they're producing all this great content. Now, Disney already had plans going into this to release their own streaming services.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they've pulled everything off of like Netflix and things like that.
Right. And they're going to ESPN Plus was their sports service.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to launch this upcoming year, 2018. Oh. And then their entertainment service is supposed to launch in 2019 when the Netflix agreement runs out.
Yeah, because they've got a contract.
Right. Now, we can talk about what all the parties get.
Mm-hmm.
And then I want to kind of winnow down into...
What does it mean for our shows?
What's it mean for the shows and the... So some of this probably won't matter to a lot of people. It's just interesting to see the types of numbers and the money and all that. Fox is getting 25% of Walt Disney's stock shares.
Okay.
And $8.5 billion in cash dividends that'll be fed to the spinoff company Fox creates to handle its existing properties.
That's a B with a B again.
Big B. Now Fox's spinoff, this is what Fox is keeping. They're going to keep their broadcast network, which is the Fox Channel.
Yeah, like Fox 17.
Right. And they're going to keep the 28 TV stations they own around the country.
So it's not like the sports, like FS1, FS2?
No, that's... Well, they're keeping those, but they're going to keep... These are like individual Fox stations around the country. They're going to keep Fox News because, of course, they are.
Yeah.
The one thing I'd like to see closed. They're going to keep Fox Business News, FS1 and FS2, the Big Ten Network, Fox Deportes, and their 50-acre 20th Century Fox lot in Century City.
So 20th Century Fox, that's the one responsible for like our movies.
Right. It's responsible for TV, too.
Okay.
So Disney. Disney loads up in this deal.
Of course. I mean, why would they make a deal if they didn't load up in it?
So the stuff that doesn't matter as much, they're going to have a $2 billion cost savings by integrating their assets with Fox's. Mm-hmm. They're going to take on $13.7 billion in Fox's debt.
So they're inheriting a debt.
Right.
Hmm.
Bob Iger, who runs Disney right now, has already signed a contract extension.
Yeah.
To oversee the
implementation of this. As he should.
Yeah. Now, internationally, Disney is going to get 350 channels around the world that cover 170 countries. Star India, the satellite service in India, is going to be theirs. They're going to get 39% of Sky TV, which is Europe's equivalent to pay-per-view.
Okay. So,
and if Fox is able to successfully negotiate a purchase of the rest of Sky TV, they're just going to sign that over to Disney as part of the deal. So Disney will have their U.S. and North American markets. They'll have India.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll have Europe.
Lord, can you just think of all that though?
They're also going to get the FX network,
Of course,
and National Geographic channels.
I know Fox owned them.
Yeah. Now they're going to get Fox's 22 regional sports networks.
Okay.
So Fox Sports South, Fox Sports Southeast, Fox Sports Ohio, all those are going to go to Disney. As well as the YES Network, which is owned in part by the New York Yankees.
Hmm.
So they're getting all this.
So they're getting all these sports. They're getting all this. What does this mean for our TV shows?
Well, we'll
get to movies. We could do like at a different topic some other time. Because, I mean, I've got so many theories as far as like adventures and stuff. But
it's all looped in.
Yeah.
So I'm going to run down the franchises that they're getting.
Mm-hmm.
And then talk about why it's all important.
Okay.
Because the last thing that they get really is going to be the
catch-all.
Yeah. So the movie franchises. Fox had the distribution rights to Star Wars Episode IV, A New Hope.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so Disney will get that back.
So they're finally, so they've got everything now then. Okay,
everything.
Good.
Other movie franchises, The New Planet of the Apes.
Mm-hmm. Though, Andy Serkis looking at you.
Ice Age.
Scream.
Which would be kind of a good property for Disney.
Yeah.
The Alien franchise.
So basically what you're telling me is anything born from the Xenomorph Queen is a Disney princess now.
Right.
Cute.
Avatar will now be a Disney property.
The James Cameron Avatar? Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm down with that.
And of course, the big three from the films, Deadpool, Fantastic Four, and X-Men.
So, with that being said, a lot of people asked, is Deadpool still going to be like rated R and stuff? Because we're going to a kid, but essentially a kid-friendly program. And I've seen where the director said he talked to somebody, which this is, again, on the internet, so I don't know if this is 100% true, because I didn't look into it. And he was like, we've already spoken to Disney, and we are going to be able to keep the rated R rating, the titles and ratings for everything. So I was like, okay, awesome.
Yeah.
So we're not going to change that up. Okay, I'm sorry. I had to interject on that one.
Oh, no, perfectly fine. And I've got a note on that, too, later.
Okay. All right.
So the TV franchises. This Is Us will now be a Disney property.
It's on NBC.
Yeah, but Fox produces it. Modern Family.
Never got into that.
The Simpsons.
That would make sense.
The Gifted.
Okay.
Buffy. Buffy the Vampire
Slayer.
Buffy's
dead, though. We're done. Buffy's gone.
Look, their distribution rights are still there.
Right.
For syndication. How I Met Your Mother, Futurama, Firefly, X-Files, which is about to come back on. The Orville.
Yep, that's with Seth MacFarlane.
Yeah. Empire, American Horror Story.
So essentially all
Legion.
So by the way, that's on Hulu. I don't know if you have Hulu now. Just put the season on.
I'm glad you brought that up because that leads me to the final point.
What
makes all this work? So currently, the ownership structure of Hulu is 10% to Time Warner, 30% to Comcast, 30% to Disney, and 30% to Fox.
Okay.
With this deal, Disney would buy Fox's other 30%, which would give them 60% ownership in Hulu. They want to buy the rest of Hulu.
Right.
And this gets to the rated R aspect. One thing that's been talked about is that they would take any of the more adult-oriented entertainment, like rated R films, and put it on Hulu. Their other streaming service would be for traditional Disney family content.
That's not a bad idea.
It's not a bad idea at all. And of course, they get their movie and TV studios and 20th Century Fox, Fox 2000, and Fox Searchlight.
X-Men and all them.
Right. All that's going to come in. So, how's that affect the MCU? It doesn't.
Really?
It does not the MCU that we're in right now.
Yeah.
Because Disney has already said that after the fourth Avengers film, the current MCU will wrap.
And we're going to go into...
They're going to create a new MCU, new franchises.
So basically...
New casting.
Well, I've got a theory on all that.
I don't know how they're going to come up with someone better than Robert Downey Jr. to play Tony Stark.
I'm pretty sure he's going to die in Infinity War.
Well,
you know, next
at
week.
Some point they're going to need a new Iron Man, and you know, so the current MCU is expected to end in 2019, and they'll reboot it. Kevin Feige has said the periods are going to be distinct. Everything before Avengers 4 and everything after. So
like it's
there won't be any crossover.
So basically what you're telling me is Hugh Jackman's not coming back as Logan.
No.
Well, all right then.
Now, the X-Men is something else that's come up. It's possible Disney and Marvel may not do anything new with that for a while. Because you still have the Dark Phoenix movie that's supposed to come out.
Yep.
And you still have the New Mutants that's supposed to come out.
That's the horror-esque one.
Yeah, not to mention The Gifted and Legion. So they may let that settle for a bit. They may focus possibly on Fantastic Four because it's been
rebooted.
It's been crapped on so much that I think that would be better as like a Netflix series myself.
Yeah. So if we're actually that would be a good Netflix series. So what we're saying here is that for right now it doesn't mean anything. But Disney now owns The Gifted. This is Us. It owns Legion. It owns everything on Fox, pretty much. So, do you think we will... Well, I guess it'll just depend if you know, The Gifted keeps on going. If we might see a hand. Because you said, like, they're doing two distinct... You know, before, pre-Infinity War... Avengers 4, and then post-Avengers 4. So, because, I mean, I'm sure Gifted is... If this show keeps going like it is, I'm sure it's going to go past that point. So where's the Gifted going to lie on that timeline?
That's one of the questions. And again, that's if this goes through.
Yeah, we still have to rely on the DOJ.
Yeah, so if the government gets involved and decides they don't like the parameters of this deal, they can shut it down and everybody's left where they're left. Even if this ends up being a case where the deal goes through, I don't know what The Gifted ends up with. In a way they've positioned it well because we know when it happens. Right? It's after the X-Men have gone underground.
And it's before
they've gone into hiding.
The Logan movies.
And it's before the Logan movies.
Okay.
So it could still be used, they could actually use it as far as the X-Men's concerned as the jumping off point.
Yeah.
And they can tell the story of what happened leading up to that.
Then
they can come back.
It would be crazy. And it's not so much more so this merger, but what would be crazy if, like, we got Dark Phoenix coming up.
Right.
Who's to say that's not, like, the last X-Men movie we're going to get before Disney? Mm-hmm. So, how crazy would it be to end that with Thunderbird in it? Because we know Thunderbird knew some of the X-Men, and he was kind of around during that time.
They could.
So that'd be kind of crazy.
They could. They could also pull the New Mutants.
Right.
And they could actually have Marvel take it over. If a deal is going to go through, and they can introduce Thunderbird cinematically
mm-hmm.
in the New Mutants.
I'd be okay with that.
And have him as...
Well, Hope DeVoyler, I hope that answers your question. It was a lot of information, but it was good. It was needed. And
we could actually theorize about it.
We could even have, just because we're coming up upon our own hiatus, so to speak, because all of our shows are kind of taking just a little bit of a break. So, like, this is actually our episode that I'll see you before Christmas. And the reason I say that is, I got you a gift for Christmas.
Oh, you didn't have to do that.
So I know the audio listeners can't hear it. Ignore my name on there. Yes, I reuse bags. I know that.
Oh, you reuse bags.
The Facebook Live can see it, but Chris Facebook is pulling Live. Out
oh,
a.
Wow. Oh wow.
Stephen Amell's.
Oh wow.
Knocking Point Wine.
That
it's
is amazing.
Pink Wine for Dudes is the title of it.
I would drink this pink wine.
Yeah.
I actually have a Knocking Point box on the way.
Is it this one?
No, I don't think good. It's this one. No, but that's amazing.
So Stephen
thank
Amell,
you very much.
Hey, no problem. Merry Christmas, sir.
I gave you yours before we got started.
Well, you don't have to do these things. Well, is that it for this week that you've got?
That's it that I've got. Yeah, I mean, there we can always talk a little bit about this each week if anything new breaks, and
let's see what comes up.
Yeah.
Again, for the giveaway for the Buddy the Elf and the Grinch Pop, and then the DC's yearly annual holiday comic, you've got to email nerdwide@gmail.com. You have to tell us our douche canoe, which is Dr. Campbell. You've got to tell us your douche canoe of the two episodes, and your name. It's the only thing you need at nerdwide@gmail.com. Email us, and we will get that to you. Same thing, Friday is the deadline, so make sure you have your email in by Friday. So that is it for this week. Make sure you review us on iTunes. Make sure you share this around on all of your favorite social media platforms. Follow NerdWide at Twitter at nerd_wide, and you can follow me at Ty_Haynes and Mr. Rivers at MavTN7. If you're following us, let us know where you're coming. If you follow us, let us know where you come from. Tag us, chat up a conversation. We'll answer your questions, anything you have advice on, help with, anything. We'll hang out with you. As always, I'm your host, Tyler Haynes, with the man, Chris Rivers himself, and we cannot wait to share our thoughts with you next week.
I'm going to go drink.
There we are.